Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Are we doing this one more time, Dan DeVone? Shout out Daft Punk. Are we doing this one more time next year with the Warriors? Are we blowing this thing up? Are we taking the stick of dynamite to the railroad tracks? What are we doing? Where are we at with Golden State after a 3-1 week? They beat Charlotte last night. They got the San Antonio Spurs on Sunday before a pretty tough week upcoming, honestly, with Dallas twice, Houston mixed in, an important game against the Rockets that are hot on the heels of the Dubs, one game back of the 10 seed. Warriors right now, five games above 500, are a game and a half out of the 9 seed behind the Lakers. And where is everyone at right now? Are they still big picture? Have you been changed or swayed a little bit? Did you see the explosiveness on Wednesday from Draymond and the outpouring of emotion from Curry and the unforgivable word used by Steve Kerr? Where are you at right now? 888-957-9570. That's Dan DeVone. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors This Week. Where are you at, Dan?
You know, we have the most challenging job in America this morning. There's no one else doing a sports show recapping a basketball team that has to go through what it is that we deal with this team over the 82 games to 6 months. Like, we just simply are... We are put up against it, and I'm saying this to management, that nobody has to deal with a team that goes through more ebb and flow and trying to somehow put a character, a label, an identity on a team that, as I said at the beginning of the show, I don't know. I don't know what to believe at this point. You know, think about if we were doing this show for any other team in the NBA. Just give me a team. Just throw out any random team in the NBA of all 32 teams. Just give me a team. All right? You don't want to play along? I'll give you a team.
Memphis.
Memphis is a team that is too... God, you give me the most difficult team. Memphis is a team
that is clearly rebuilding. OKC.
Memphis isn't going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ja Morant is hurt. The majority of your entire team has been hurt. That's what you talk about. All right? Open the door, shut the door, move on, take a caller from trying to think of some random small city out there in Memphis. But that's it, man. In the state of Tennessee, I should say.
I was going to say, Memphis is kind of a small, forgotten western town in the state.
My point is that when it comes to the Warriors, there's so many moving parts. Like, you can't just simply say, this is who they are, this is where they're going, this is what they need. We sit here... And week after week, we buy in sometimes to Klay Thompson, to Andrew Wiggins. We begin to think, just when you're ready to kick dirt on that foundational, the older core, that they still have something left in the tank. They've still got a year or two left. Just when you're ready to blow it up, you know, they win three in a row on the road.
Yep.
And they hold three consecutive games, they hold teams and opponents to under 100 points defensively. So just when you're ready to buy in, you know, they get slapped in the face again, and they potentially could lose to San Antonio. So is the team too young? Do they need to get young? Are they too old? Or do you keep the pieces, timelines? I'm telling you, you don't deal with this with any other team in the NBA except that of the Golden State Warriors.
This is from the Comcast Business Text Line for the 415. You guys should try being a Clippers fan for the last 30 years. That's a pretty good
one.
But that's just, you know, mired in mediocrity. We're talking about this season. Like, it's funny. We're looking at inconsistent teams around the NBA. Warriors got to be at the top of a lot of people's lists. I think Sacramento's probably up there. They've been up and down. Maybe the Lakers. Phoenix, I would say, has been pretty disappointing. Milwaukee, maybe, though they've been good, has been up and down. It is interesting, though, Dan.
Oh, wait, can I just throw out a stat? Because you and I think, are on the same level when it comes to Doc Rivers getting dusted off in another opportunity.
Yes. Yeah.
He's 14-13 as a head coach of Milwaukee. Meanwhile, his predecessor, I believe, was, I want to say,
Mr. Griffin,
was 31-13. That may not be right.
No, I think you are. I think you are.
He's like 31-13, and Doc has been 14-13 since his arrival. Anyways, go ahead.
No, he's basically just kept the team afloat. But it's interesting that the teams, excluding Sac, but all right, Golden State, Los Angeles, even Milwaukee, the Clippers, shout out our guy in the 415, and Phoenix would be the other team. You know what all of those teams got in common?
What's up?
They're old. They're really old. Like, the average age of all five of those teams is what you'd find in the top five of the NBA. Milwaukee's the oldest team in basketball. The Warriors, I think, are the fourth or fifth oldest team in basketball. The Lakers are old. All the best players, Phoenix, the best players, 35, 36, KD, they're all old. And we're at the point now in the season where we're seeing a couple of them fade a little bit. Phoenix has fallen into the play-in tournament. Milwaukee is still at the top of the East by process of elimination, but to your point, they haven't been very good since Rivers took over for them. The Warriors, in my opinion, have to find a way not to completely rebuild, but to get younger this summer. Now, that's going to include keeping Kuminga and hopefully more of a role for someone like Moody, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Pajemski. You know, I think those guys can have shown that they can help, and they've been necessary for the place that they're in, but they have to find a way to get younger at the top. Like, the hierarchy has to change. To me, Steph at age 37, it would be unfair to expect him to carry this team like he did and has done next season when he's another year older. Klay Thompson, to me, I think he actually has improved his market value throughout the year because he's shown that he's willing to accept a lesser role, but also now even stepping back into the starting lineup means to me the agenda or the, I guess, sensitivity surrounding Klay Thompson and where he's at with his basketball career and life, that's no longer as big of a question. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, is how sensitive or emotional is Klay going to be if he doesn't feel like he's the same player? To me, he's answered that question a bit. And so I think his value has risen. But does he fit with the Warriors at a particular number? Is there another team out there that could use the services of Klay Thompson? And then Draymond Green. I don't think he's changed a lick, but he's got to look himself in the mirror, because if he's suspended for another 25 games, or if he is unavailable for this team, who knows? Next year, maybe it's not suspensions. Maybe he doesn't get ejected one time next year. But you know what? That lower back problem that flared up in the championship title run season comes back to bite him again. Then you're down 20 games of Draymond. There are too many questions about the availability and production of players at the top of the hierarchy for the Warriors, for me, that I feel like they need to address the average age of this team. And part of that's going to be Chris Paul, I think, moving on. But in general, you just need players that you can know what to expect from. And that hasn't happened.
You need a star. And I said this at the beginning of the show, and we talked about, or at least I mentioned, quote-unquote, blowing it up. Think about, how's this for an analogy, Ev? I mentioned this last week. LeBron James. Say what you will about LeBron. I'm not a LeBron guy, but I recognize his greatness, and I certainly understand how smart he is, not only as a basketball player, but also as a businessman.
You listen to his new podcast? Is that what you're talking about?
It's pretty insightful. You know, the only problem I have with his new podcast and J.J. Redick...
I was going to say, is J.J. Redick?
Well, J.J. Redick. But they almost have this sort of edict that's been handed down from Adam Silver that I need you guys to use this sort of the lexicon and the terminology of basketball. Like, I need you guys to use that so that it becomes part of the dialogue of fans when they're talking about the NBA, much like that of the NFL. Much like that of Major League Baseball. You know, It's just, that has to be very organic. To hear LeBron James and J.J. Redick just sort of force-feed people talking about, well, I was at the nail coming off the double pin down. Like, it's just like you're trying to fit something in there that's just not, like, you have an agenda here. You know, in the NFL, you don't hear Patrick Mahomes get into this, well, we scraped and I found the hot receiver on the right. Nah, it's like a lot of that stuff we know about a guy setting the edge. We know about two deep zones just because as a casual fan, you do. And I think that from a marketing standpoint, that's what LeBron James and J.J. Redick are trying. Aren't you glad you asked me about this podcast?
Yeah.
I'm trying to just jam down your throat. So anyways, what the hell is I talking about?
No, no, no. If I can digress for a moment, I see a D&DC. I see a Connor in Dublin. The number is 888-957-9570. I swear to God, Dan DeVone and I are talking about the Golden State Warriors.
Let's go. Let's get calls.
Well, but before, the thing about their podcast to me, it's kind of like Tony Romo. When Tony Romo got into the booth, he was the brand shiny new toy because he was talking about terms that no one had ever heard before, or he was calling out plays, and he was exuberant, and he was fresh, and he was new. And I'm kind of done with him at this point. I mean, I just feel like it's going to wear off. No one wants to have a dictionary term explained to them every single episode for 45 minutes. And as smart as LeBron is, I think that will fizzle as well. All right, D's out in D.C. What's going on, my man? How we doing back east? You're on with Evan and Dan.
What's going on, my two favorite people, man? How y'all doing?
What up, D?
Fantastic.
Hey, the problem with the Warriors, you guys already know who it is, man. It's the one who is the biggest coconut on the roster. He's all that is wrong. He's all that is wrong with the Warriors. Too small, too short, too old, too inconsistent, too volatile, too everything, right? Mm. If you want to move forward like by next season, if you don't trade Draymond Green, if you don't get rid of Draymond Green, you're not making any changes, period. I don't care who else you bring in. Draymond will continue to be who he's always been. Unfortunately, right now he's getting older, and his lack of ability to do, you know, he's already limited offensively. His inability to affect the game the way he used to affect it back in the day are gone. Now he's going to rely a hell of a lot more upon his craziness to try to get himself going. And that's going to get us in trouble, and it's going to get him in trouble. So as a result, moving forward, Lakers needs to remove the clutch shackles he has around his feet and get rid of Draymond to get this team better. That's all I got, man.
Thanks, DC. Clutch with a K, by the way, Dan.
I got you.
Shout out Rich Paul. Yeah, I mean, like I think there's a lot more of that. And thank you, D&DC. There's a lot more of that sentiment that we've heard from the fan base than ever before because of what happened on Wednesday. Now, this might have been building for some time with certain section, but we're taking calls all week on 95.7 The Game. And I got to tell you, the Draymond defenders, the Draymond apologists, their voices were not as loud as they usually are.
Well, it's because the team isn't as good. And I think, was it louder when he punched Jordan Poole? Probably not. I guess my point is that you can set your watch to this stuff. And if you sign up for Draymond Green, even if you trade him, whoever it is that's trading for Draymond, this is what you're going to get. It's baked in. So none of it should be surprised at this point. Like, I'm over it. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. He did something completely irrational, but that's who this cat is. And that's, you know, that's what it is. That's what you signed up. This is who it is that you have at your center spot. The only way that he gets moved, it's not to me, everything that he does with this ridiculous, maniacal behavior of getting bounced from a game that's 4 minutes in a game that you need to have, and probably their most important game on the season, just a stupid move. That has nothing to do with it. I think it comes down to, is he still a good basketball player? Now, he clearly hasn't built up any equity, where there's some players that, you know, you could slow a half step, but because you're such a positive attitude in the locker room, or because you're such a good team guy, or because we value you as a person, you know, we're gonna hang on to you a few more years. The minute he slows a bit, bro, we're not keeping you anymore, because if you can't help us on the basketball court, you can't justify all the other crap that we've had to deal with. See you later. But I still think that if Jokic is coming to town, who's going to D him up? I mean, when you think about, you know, running the show as a point guard at times, he's still effective. Like, that's the prism by which everybody, including Lacob and Dunleavy and Kerr, they measure this guy. And they recognize everything else, yes, it's sort of baked in. We accept it. It makes no sense. But that's how the justification for keeping this guy going forward is all predicated on what it is that he does on the floor and nothing else, in my estimation. And I know I'm sort of on an island there.
No, I don't think you are. But I also think that what he does on the floor is being overshadowed by what he also does outside of the game. I mean, he's been ejected 4 times this season, Dan. He's been suspended or has missed due to injury or suspension about 25 games. That's not insignificant. He has been unavailable largely because of his own actions for a third of the year. And if he is the same important, emotional, integral player, cerebral player that the Warriors need, well, that's kind of a problem. And the problem is that, you're right, this is on a clock. I mean, just twice a day. What, you know, the clock, dead clock is right twice a day. Well, for Draymond Green, the clock is apparently wrong 4 times a year. That can't happen. And he's said repeatedly, these things can't happen. And yet they continue to. The quote of the season so far has been Stephen Curry saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. I think that applies to Draymond. And at some point, you got to figure out when you want to cut bait with that level of insanity. Because you're right, he's still a good player. But if he can't help you, and if he's also becoming more of a negative influence because of his actions, well, then we got problems. He punched a teammate, derailed that season. If there was a laundry list of reasons the Warriors have not achieved their goal, I don't know if Draymond's number one, but he's probably 1A this year. Because of how much time he's missed because of either choking a player or backspinning a fist into Yusuf Nurkic's face or flailing and almost kicking Grant Williams last night. Like, this stuff is not going away. And so unless he's able to look himself in the mirror and, like, actually go to therapy and, you know, allegedly.
It ain't happening.
Exactly. But that's kind of the point, Dan. Like, I'm also, yeah. It was on full display on Wednesday again, but the difference was we saw Curry just be emotionally spent. Like, he had it up to here. And it was not just that one night. I think it was an accumulation of everything. Like, dude, you've got to be kidding me. And they're going to ride out on Sunday. I mean, he was out there last night. They won a game by 20 going away. Curry was good. Draymond was fine. But there's residue there, Dan, and I don't know if we can just look past that the way we've continued to look past Draymond.
But I think everything is going to be done just, again, within the spectrum of basketball moves. So if you want to move off on Draymond, again, it just gets back to, what am I getting in return? It's all about making the Golden State Warriors better, unless you and Dub Nation are saying, just let him walk. Let him go. We can't deal with this anymore. Just get him, you know, for a bag of chips. Like, I don't think that all of this is done through, again, the lens of what makes the Warriors better. And right now, on the floor, you can look at it on games he plays and when he was suspended, as you referred to. They're not as good of a basketball team. That's what this all boils down to. I guess if what people are saying, I'm tired of him, get him out the door, if you expect Dunleavy to say, so long, Draymond. We're gonna move you. We're not gonna get much in return. We just need you to go away simply because of all of the extracurricular nonsense is too disruptive. We've gotten to the point where no more, no mas, no mas, as Roberto Duran once said to Sugar Ray Leonard. No mas, we're done with you. Or is Dunleavy gonna say, okay, we're gonna trade you because I'm getting something back in return? Or we're going to move you because you're going to be part of a deal that's going to make my team better. That's all I'm saying, that these decisions are made exclusively on how do we get better as a basketball team. It's not about, okay, the behavior's gotten to the point where it's just, Draymond, I tell you what, take your money and go. We'll pay you, you know, in perpetuity for the next, you know, 3 years of the rest of your life. Like, everything is done, again, through the prism of, how do the Warriors get better as a basketball team? If that means trading Draymond, let's do it.
I think that one of the biggest issues, if I can jump in here real quick, one of the biggest issues is his justification for what his actions have, you know, have proven. Like on his podcast, the Draymond Green Show, shout out his podcast, whatever. But he goes, if I'm being honest with y'all, I was kind of trying to turn my body and angle it to go to the bench. But I said what I said a little too soon before angling my body. So what he's basically saying is I should have moved before, you know, before talking to the ref, should have moved out of the way of what I was saying. It's like, no, just don't talk. Don't say anything. That's what you should have done. Hold your tongue.
Well, that's what a normal person would do.
Right, right.
No, but and that's, that, by the way, is our guy Killer Cam behind the glass. It sounded like a kid that got caught at a candy store stealing Skittles and is not remorseful for stealing the candy, but is remorseful for getting caught. And that's who Draymond Green has shown himself to be. I don't think he's a bad person, but the guy's got issues.
Oh, he's got issues.
He's got impulse control issues.
No doubt. He deals with rage, and that's why when people are like, how can you do that 4 minutes in? Well, when you get enraged, you've lost control of everything. The one thing that I did want to mention, when I saw this in real time, Ev, you know what jumped out at me? It wasn't necessarily Steph Curry or Chris Paul. After he gets rung up, he gets the first technical, right? And now he's still jawing at the referee. You're 4 minutes in. It's a game you need. I don't know that I can put this on Steve Kerr, that I think about it and let this, you know, this thing has been able to sort of settle a little bit. But somebody needed to get in there and say, let's go, that's enough, and get his ass back to the bench, allowing him to sit there and go, you know, verbal dart for verbal dart with the referee when you got one technical and you can't lose him. Well, what the hell did you expect it to happen? That, to me, screamed that the adult in the room has to step between Draymond and the referee. Now, Steph did it to a certain degree. Chris Paul was there. But that was clear that somebody needed to say, enough, bro. Let's get you back to, let's just live to see another play. The fact that he was allowed to just sit there and do what it is that he did, that to me was an inevitability that he was going to get tossed.
But Curry did try to stop him. Like, if you watch it, if you go back and watch, he's next to him after he picks up the technical, and he's saying, come on, let's go. What, he's going to take a grown man and, like, physically move him away from the referee? No, that's on Draymond Green. And all of the suspensions and ejections and games missed by this year have been on Draymond Green. And I do think on the YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, Golden State Warriors Vera brings up, I think, the rat on the table, brought to you by Echo Pest Control, is you can't replace a player like Draymond.
Sponsor for that.
Yeah.
Attaboy Guru.
There we go.
Shout out, Goo.
But that question has become more of a debate than ever before. Is Draymond replaceable? Well, the 12 games he was suspended indefinitely, Dan, they went 7-5. Overall this year, they're a sub-500 team with him off the court, 11-14. But he is more replaceable than he's ever been. Is he still a very good basketball player? Yes. So is Steph Curry. So is Klay Thompson. Draymond is the core of their defense right now, but they've also been able to operate without him at times this year. And that begs the question of, is Draymond Green still irreplaceable? I've thought about that long and hard. And on Wednesday, it might have been prisoner of the moment, Dan, but looking at Curry's face and looking at the way that the Warriors rallied, I mean, they went on like a 17-3 run after the ejection. I mean, it was like they said, you know what? Forget him. We don't need this guy. Because this is a game that, regardless of how Draymond acts or plays or otherwise, this is a game we need, and he didn't want to be out there. He got tossed 4 minutes into a basketball game. That's ridiculous.
Well, really quick, was Curry obviously, you know, he's frustrated. Was he frustrated with Draymond, which is sort of like the easy, yeah, that makes sense. Or, let me just throw this out there. Was the frustration part of what it is that Coach Kerr has been talking about, that this dude's logged a lot of minutes? He's been carrying us for a lot of years. It's towards the end of the season, and he's 36 years of age, and now he doesn't have Draymond. The dude is tired. He's frustrated. He can't take any load management like other stars towards the end of the season, right, getting ready for the postseason. You can't afford to rest this guy if you want to hold off the Houston Rockets. Was part of that of the equation? Like, you know what, man, I'm so tired physically, and now I'm without Draymond. This is just me voicing my level of frustration that I'm exhausted as a basketball player, and now to compound things with this coconut.
It's ridiculous, man. And there is something else that I felt about on Wednesday, and I still feel right now, 72 hours later, about that I want to get to on the other side in regards to the big three, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. One doesn't have a contract of the three, but I do think that Wednesday, it opened my eyes to something. I want to reveal that on the other side. I also see you, Connor, in Dublin. I apologize. We will get to you on the other side. That's Dan DeVoe, Evan Giddings with you on Warriors This Week. Halfway home up until 12 o'clock on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, halfway home here on Warriors This Week. Dan DeVoe, Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, talking Dubs. Warriors right now, 5 games above 500. A season high for them. They are the 10th seed, game and a half back of the Lakers. Game up on the Houston Rockets, who just continue to win, Dan. They just continue to win games. 11 in a row after a one-point win in Utah last night.
Isn't that crazy? They can't keep that up, though, right?
Well, I didn't think they'd win 5 in a row. Nevertheless, 11.
You think this thing will come down to that matchup between the Warriors and the Rockets next week?
It might. It's so funny. We thought, a couple weeks ago was that matchup between the Warriors and the Lakers, and the Warriors won in L.A., and it was huge. And all right, so that means they got the upper hand for the elimination game. And now it's like, damn, we're looking at that game on Thursday against Houston, circling it like that. That might be for all the chips. I mean, it's a reflection of the state of the season, I think.
Well, and also, I think you have to keep in mind when you think about the scheduling, it doesn't do the Warriors any favors because they got that makeup game, remember, against the Dallas Mavericks, I want to say.
Yep,
so you're crisscrossing the country. And so you're looking for every advantage. And I've talked about how this is an older team. That does not work in their favor.
No, it doesn't. I think to end the season, they will have played 17 games in 30 days. I mean, they got 5 games in 7 days. As of last week, it's going to be the same, and you might have had a condensed road schedule, but because this game was not supposed to happen and was unfortunately had to be moved because of Dejan Milojevic's passing in January, because of that, basically you're in a position where you're not going to get those 3 days off you were supposed to get, and you got to roll right into Sunday and then Tuesday and then a back-to-back Thursday, Friday. So you're basically playing the same amount of games that they played this past week once more, and then you're just rolling it on to the next week.
Which is why, if ever there was a season where they needed depth, and which they have this year, this is it. And I think that you talk about the back-to-back and how they were so good. again, not so good, but they were able to gut out that win against Orlando. To me, that is exactly what it is that we're talking about. Chris Paul had no legs. He couldn't even bring the ball up the court. I saw at least one pick six by Cole Anthony on him. Like, he had no handle against Cole Anthony in it.
He got picked against Miami, too.
That's what happens when you get older. You just don't have your legs, man. So that's when the youth, and that's when you can go deep. We talked about how problematic it was early on in the season. How are you going to juggle 12 guys? We got to get all 12 guys run. You got to go, this team's at least 11 guys deep. Well, right now, as you get, you know, deep into the season and you're dealing with some injuries, you need every one of those bodies.
You do. You do. Let's get out to Connor in Dublin here on Warriors This Week. Dan DeVoe, Evan Giddings, 95.7 The Game. Connor, thanks for hanging on. How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, my man. Thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Hey, you don't need to apologize for not getting to me, because listening to you guys, you guys have like opened up my mind and have allowed me to look at this in a way that I've never really looked at it before, in a more philosophical way and less about the game, in a sense that I don't really apply the definition of insanity as repeating the same mistake or repeating the same thing, expecting a different outcome. I more look at it as the life that a person who is a fool and who's doomed to repeat them, that's the kind of life they're living. They're living a life of insanity. And that's the thing that's going on with Draymond, is he's a fool. He's that fool who's doomed to repeat his mistakes, and he's not learning from them. And until he gets smart enough to learn from them, he never will. And so he's ultimately living that life of insanity, and it's going to be hard for him, because, and the way you can tell about whether or not you think he's worth anything or not is, my way of looking at it is he more of a help than a hindrance? If he's more a hindrance than a help, then I say it's about time to probably trade him for someone, for a quality player. And if he's, that's the thing. If teams know about Draymond already, they know how much impulsivity he has, and how lack of self control he has on the court, and so would teams be even willing to take this guy? And that's a concern. I thought up of an analogy for the Warriors team right now. The Warriors team are like that sandcastle you build too close to the water, and it looks real nice. And then that wave comes and washes it away, and then you rebuild it and it gets washed away. And that's what I'm looking at right now. Like, the Warriors look good, then they get washed away. And then and it's just that over and over process until they just fall apart, and then you got to leave the beach, and then it's gone.
Thanks, Connor. Yeah, I don't know if there's any beaches in Dublin, but we're running into that in Ocean Beach, I can tell you what.
You're not building sandcastles on Ocean Beach.
He's opening my mind, Dan.
Yeah, that was a nice analogy there, Mr. Connor. Someone said Draymond trade him for a Ben Simmons expiring contract to dump him. I'm assuming that's tongue-in-cheek. I think if you're going to move off of Draymond, I'll just reiterate what I said in the last block, is that all of this is done through the lens of what makes basketball sense for your team. And again, the thing is that I'll tell you how this is going to play out. It's going to dissipate with every game. We'll talk less and less about Draymond. He'll do some good things. And we won't forget about it entirely until the next uprising, which will happen. And that's life with Draymond Green. Just deal with it. I mean, the idea that it's the end of the world because Draymond was so selfish, and it's just who he is until you trade him and you don't have to deal with him anymore. And if you're going to trade him, then what is it that you're getting in return? Because that's how Dunleavy lives his life the minute he gets up till he goes to bed at night. Unless you're saying, I am so tired of this guy, let him walk. It's like, I don't care what we get in return. It's gotten to the point of no return.
There are levels of importance in the organization, and Draymond's pretty high. I mean, that's why they brought him back for 4 years at $100 million. But Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s already showed us once that he's willing to move off of a player that they just inked to a big deal. And he told us Jordan Poole would be here for 4 more years, and he traded him 2 weeks later. Jordan Poole's not Draymond Green. has never been, will never be. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for Mike Dunleavy Jr. to make another difficult choice this season or this upcoming offseason if it's determined that the toxicity that Draymond has brought is too much. Again, if the juice is not worth the squeeze. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And the image in my head, Dan, from Wednesday is just Curry. It's just Curry. I mean, that's the franchise. Like, he's the sun. Everything revolves around Steph. And Draymond messed with 30, man. He just did. He extracted an emotional outpour that we've never seen before from Curry. We talked about it earlier this week. Curry doesn't kick chairs unless he's frustrated, which he did at the end of the Orlando game. He is not brought nearly to tears unless this is something that's been building over a long period of time. And while I do think that Draymond's probably still on the team next year because I think he can still help them, I'm to the point where I think I'd rather have Klay Thompson on this team moving forward than Draymond Green. That's the level of toxicity that I've seen this year, him missing 25 games largely because of his own actions, bringing Curry to the brink of tears. Klay Thompson doesn't have a deal. I would rather have him in a Warriors uniform beyond this season than Draymond at this point.
Well, I think he's sort of shooting his way back to sort of the being in the good graces of the people that, you know, will determine his fate. Because you need shooters in this league. And even if he's limited, if his role continues to get more mitigated, as long as he can come in and shoot well, you know, he still becomes somebody that can, again, you only look at this as to whether he can help your team. I think his days as a starter, I think on a good basketball team, that's not where you're going. I think his numbers should be limited, but he still should be part of your future when you're talking about Klay Thompson. What it boils down to him is just how much money you can ask for. I don't know that I can go more than, you know, 24 mil a year, or maybe that number's come down a bit. You know, you're certainly not worth the 43 we're giving you right now. And you may not be worth the 25. It just becomes a numbers game when it comes to Klay Thompson. Really quick, though, just to revisit Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you saying was that just a frustrated moment in time for that of Steph Curry? Or are you telling me that this bond between the two, which is, you know, certainly that's been well documented, that's been fractured?
I don't think it's been completely severed, and he would never publicly say that. That's also just not Steph. But there was something in that moment where it's just like he's never reacted like that to one of the vets. Whether it was Kevin Durant or Sean Livingston or David West or Andrew Bogut back in the day, we've never seen Steph react that way on the court to one of his brothers. Never. And it just looked like a guy who couldn't control himself. Like, he spoke volumes to me without saying a word. And I don't know if the relationship is... I don't think it's severed. And Steph's a pro and they'll play well together and all the rest, but it's... That's a moment in time that's going to stick with me, especially if things happen this summer in regards to changing big parts. Big changes. I think we're on the same page about this. And 888-957-9570 is the number here on Warriors this week. I think we both believe there needs to be big changes this summer. The big changes before Wednesday, to me, didn't necessarily include Draymond Green. After Wednesday and seeing Curry's reaction and then hearing Draymond's non-reaction, he's now on the table to me in regards to big changes this summer. That's where I'm at.
Let me give you another scenario. And you know what's interesting about Draymond is that you almost get this sense, and I mentioned this to you at the break, that he doesn't feel somebody has the gonads to throw him out of a game. Because he gets that first technical, and he's done this repeatedly, because I don't think refs want to be that guy to toss Draymond 4 minutes in. But you leave them, you know, with no other alternatives. But Draymond almost acts with this sort of like this level of he's sort of pompous to the point of, you're not going to toss me. I'll continue to bark.
Like, I dare you.
Yeah, exactly. And I almost feel like that when it comes to trading him. Like, he almost feels as though, you could trade me. I'm Draymond Green. I get that sense. But let me give you another scenario
That's
when it
fair.
Comes to Steph and Draymond. So I believe Steph is consulted with trades. I think that at least Myers, maybe it's not true with Dunleavy. They at least to the point of like we're thinking of doing
this. They let
him
know, yeah.
When it comes to Draymond, they give him a phone call and they're like, listen, we're thinking of moving Draymond. Do we have your blessings? What is it that Steph says?
I think if there's a move that the Warriors could sell Steph, if it helps you get better.
Because that was off the table a couple of years ago.
I agree. I don't think it's the same conversation anymore. Yeah. Even this last offseason, I think they said, hey, Steph, we're going to have to get rid of Draymond or Poole. Like they can't play together. You saw what happened last season. We can't bring that back. I'm not asking you to pick one, but if we moved one of them, would you be okay with it? I think Steph would be more inclined to say, well, we probably need Draymond more. You know, this summer, I think if Dunleavy called him up and said, hey, 30, we got a deal on the table for Draymond. I think it can help us. It'll free up some runway. Kuminga's going to get more minutes at the four. Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be our five. We're going to figure out how to piece this together. We're going to put some more shooters around you. Get some two-way guys in here. What do you think? He'd go, I think he'd say, do what you got to do. I mean, I don't think that he is as Draymond Green is as irreplaceable as he was even one season ago. A lot has changed in 1 year. Hell, a lot's changed in 1 week. That's one of the reasons why I love doing the show with you. It's like every time we think we're going to find ourselves in a rut or, I don't know, content hell, the gift that keeps on giving in the Golden State Warriors.
It's nuts.
888-957-9570 is the number. That's Dan Devone, Evan Giddings with you. Skills in Vallejo. What's going on, Skills? You're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Evan. Good to be on with you. I want to just reference a couple things you guys said earlier, like during the first hour of the show. And I'll start with Mike Dunleavy. Dan, you made reference to Mike Dunleavy possibly blowing the team up this offseason. And, you know, when he played, he was part of the Warriors team who was, you remember, in 2007, he was part of that trade that with Indiana, blowing that team up. And what happened? He saw from Indiana, the Warriors became a very much improved team for the next year and a half until other stuff happened, which messed that up, but that's another story. Point is, he's brought in. He can't be too connected to these guys. That's the whole reason why he's here. Well, they have to replace Myers, of course, with Dunleavy. You know, he can't be tied into this everyone who won in the past. If he lets Klay Thompson go, though, hopefully he does so in a more classy way than Farhan Zaidi did with Brandon Crawford. Now, my second point real quick is just that Steph was upset the other night on the court against Orlando because of this. He realized in that moment that Draymond is not going to change. He can't change. I don't think he's capable of change. I wrote Draymond off years ago when he got ejected against Charlotte, got those two tackles late, cost the Warriors a game. And I think Curry in that moment realized he's stuck with two star players, quote-unquote star players, in Green and Wiggins, who, you know, Wiggins has been better lately. You cannot count on them for any given night. You never know what you're going to get from any given night. You never know if they're going to be there, be available to play with you on any given night. And you guys alluded to this. Steph has been killing himself, trying hard at 36 years old, trying to keep this team afloat. And he realized that this window possibly could be shut. He's stuck with these two guys. You know, you guys, I think, Evan, you said earlier, 3 more years on each of their contracts. He's going to probably finish his career in this kind of rut, in this mediocrity with the wheel spinning for the Warriors. And I hope I'm wrong, but that's probably what it is. So I'll let you guys go with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Gills. Great call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think Curry is looking around at this team and saying, what do I want the rest of my career to be? It was funny. Someone, I think it was a Hornets media member, but someone in Charlotte last night asked him if he ever thought about, you know, playing in Charlotte. And he kind of lingered there for a second and was gathering his thoughts. And it's like, no, I mean, you know, I'm a Warrior for life. I want to be here. Love the Dubs. As a thought crossed my mind, yeah. You know, like anything else, right? You wonder what it would be like to play in front of your hometown team. I think there's thoughts that are rattling around Curry's head. And this summer, there's going to be a lot of them about what he wants over the next just 2 years, right? I mean, that's till the end of his contract. I think he wants to be here, and I think the Warriors will do everything they can under the sun to keep him here. But if that means moving on from one of those two pieces, I'm not just saying it is Draymond. It could be Wiggins. I mean, maybe Steph is tired of not knowing which Wiggins is going to show up even on a given night. But I think there's a lot of thoughts rattling around Curry's head that involve really hard choices. And I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to put the kibosh on any of them if you can sell him on it.
I was referring to making the analogy between him and LeBron James earlier, and this is where I wanted to go. Why LeBron James he's good at being sort of this player slash GM because he's really callous and he's smart. And so when he was about Steph Curry's age, right, he's with the Lakers. And basically he said, Rob Pelinka in your $5,000 suit, get in here. You know all these kids that you got? KCP, Lonzo Ball, Julius Randle, D-Russ, get them the hell out of here. I need a star, all right? I need a star. I'm 37 years of age, and what I'm telling you and the rest of the NBA is that I cannot do it to the level that I once did. I can still be one of the best players in the NBA. I can still dominate at times. But at this age, 36, 37 years of age, I'm telling everybody publicly that I need help. Who was the best player available at the time? It was Anthony Davis. Now, say what you will about the quote-unquote asterisk bubble NBA championship, but it was a championship nevertheless.
Yep.
And I think that's where Steph's at. Steph's at a similar point where it's like, let's stop this. Go get me a star. He won't ever do this because it's not within his personality. But they're very similar at similar stages of their career where LeBron James just said, ship everyone out and get me a star player in return. And that's where I think Steph Curry, if he's going to win another title, you cannot play this game of Andrew Wiggins peekaboo. I'm here today, gone tomorrow. Who the hell is, you know, who's, let's play the old, you know, it's time now to play everyone's favorite game show. Which Klay Thompson will show up tonight? I mean, this has gone on and on. Steph Curry needs someone once again that is stamped on the forehead 25 and 10 every night. Let's go make a run at another title. Sprinkle in the Pajemskis, the Trace Jackson Davis. Hopefully he can hang on to Kuminga. You may not be able to, Ev. You may have to say goodbye to Jonathan Kuminga, because I don't know that those aging players, including Draymond Green, are going to bring you back whoever the Anthony Davis is that might be available this offseason. But that's what you're looking at if you want to be relevant again.
Well, that's why I do think Kuminga is probably high up on the trade list. Like, if they're going to make a move, if they're actually going to improve and go out and get someone, Kuminga, he almost has to be involved. I mean, if you're another team looking at the Warriors roster, God love Pajemski and TJD and Moses Moody and all the rest. There's nobody on that team young outside of Kuminga that's worth much, if anything. So he's also the guy that I wouldn't want to move. Like, if you're looking at untouchables, I don't think anybody is untouchable outside of Steph this summer. But the second player to me I cannot move off of is Kuminga. And do I think he's a perfect player? No. Have they even really missed him the last two games? You can make a case that they haven't, because Wiggins, without Kuminga on the floor, has been doing Wiggins things. When Kuminga returns to the lineup with knee tendon after going, you know, his little knee tendonitis, if he returns to the lineup tomorrow in San Antonio, do they just figure things out? Perhaps. Maybe he gets back to being a consistent offensive force. I think there's a lot of growth that Kuminga can still make between now and next year. But that is also why I feel like the path to a star is so difficult for the Warriors, because the only guy that would be able to fetch you one is also the same person you kind of can't give up on, in my opinion.
But you got to give something to get something in return.
And that's why I don't know if they do get a big boy this summer. I mean, unless you're telling me Giannis is on the table, I'm not moving Kuminga.
Yeah, it depends on what's available. I'm with you there.
Like, I didn't want Pascal Siakam, and he came in and gave the Warriors 29-16 the other night. So I think that level of star, if you're talking about, you know, Siakam's not a star, but he's a good player. I think that's the level of player you're looking at this summer.
And you're giving up draft picks as well, which is another thing that I didn't mention. When you're talking about these younger teams in the West, they also got a lot of... OKC's has got boatloads of picks as well. So they're going to get even better. As it relates to Jonathan Kuminga, he is ascending, I think we'd all agree. And we get excited about his age and the fact that the dude's 21. Where's he going to be 5 years from now when he's, you know, still not even at the apex of his career? So that's very enticing. But he's not there yet now. So a lot of what it is that you see with the Golden State Warriors is conjecture. Like, we think he's a rising star, but he's not a star. Giannis and some of the, you know, the top-tier players are established stars in this league. That's who they need to get. Not somebody who has the potential. Not somebody who's, quote-unquote, a bit of a project. But somebody that is already, again, stamped as an NBA superstar in this league. A perennial NBA all-star basketball player is what you need. Jonathan Kuminga is not that. Not yet. Could be, but he's not there yet. Same thing with Pajemski. A lot of it is potential. Trayce Jackson-Davis, as good as he is, you still have to hold your breath a little bit and let this breathe over the course of a couple of years when you can say, oh, yeah, Trayce Jackson-Davis is this guy. Jonathan Kuminga is a perennial all-star, but we're not there yet. And so, again, a lot of this is, quote-unquote, the big P words, potential and promise. What the Warriors need is somebody who's established as being a guy that every night, along with Steph, is going to give you 25 and 10.
And that's what I want to use to kick off the final hour as we head to our commercial break here, heading into the 11 o'clock hour, 9 to noon, Warriors this week, 95-7 the game, 888-957-9570 is the number. What kind of player do you want to see on this team next year? Is it someone that's already on the team that's grown internally? Is it going out and using trade chips to fetch a big man, a wing? What kind of player can help Golden State kind of uncoil this season, really the last two seasons that have been mired largely in mediocrity? That's Dan DeVone, Evan Giddings with you, back after this on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.